If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks can't complete the season sweep of the Calgary Flames, falling to Calgary 3-1 in this hockey game. I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy now to help me break down this game. And Steve, it was a pretty eventful first period with three of the four goals all happening pretty early on in that first. The fourth one was the empty net goal. We'll talk about what happened in between then in a little bit. But it felt like a special teams game that went sideways for the Blackhawks. And that's been an area all year long that's been really good for Chicago this season. But on a night like tonight, neither the penalty kill was as sharp as they usually are, nor the power play specifically didn't feel like they generated much offensive momentum in this game.
Well, you're right. The penalty kill came into this game second overall in the NHL, which is really a credit to this team. It's outstanding the way they've killed penalties this year. They were 18 for 18. But, you know, as a side note, Calgary in Columbus a couple nights ago went 3 for 3 on their power play, and they're the 30th ranked power play in the NHL. So it just goes to show you that, you know what, you can't always look at the numbers and think this is what's going to happen. And we looked at the numbers and we thought, okay, bad power play, great penalty kill, there's no way they're going to get scored on. Well, yeah, they got scored on, and then the power play, which has been pretty darn good this year, gives up their shorthanded goal, and that was basically the hockey game. A power play goal, a shorthanded goal, they win by a goal, or they win by a couple of goals. Game, set, and match right there. But I'll go back to, you know, the Blackhawks had a pretty good start. They scored on the first shot of the game. The crowd's into it. The bench is into it. The fourth line scores, which is always a bonus. But, boy, they just turned the puck over. I had them at 8 turnovers at the offensive blue line in period number 1. You don't want 8 turnovers at the blue line in a whole game, and they basically did that in the first 20 minutes. So that wasn't good. You know, we talked to Landon Slaggart, and he talked about, you know, getting pucks out, getting pucks in, and they certainly didn't get pucks in, and that was part of the problem for them early in this hockey game. I just look at, you know, some of the teams they've beaten over this 5-1-1 stretch coming into this game, whether it was Washington or in Nashville or even Dallas. Those are quality teams, and I'm not taking anything away from the Calgary Flames, but this is a game that, you know, if you want to start climbing the ladder, this is a game you should win, and unfortunately they came up a little short today.
Yeah, no question, because Calgary came into this game with just 7 road wins, which was tied for second worst in the entire NHL, so that they're really not a very good road hockey team. They put together a solid road performance. Now, I will say, Devin Cooley was in net, not Dustin Wolf, and he's had a significantly better year in net for the Calgary Flames. I think went into this game with a .918 save percentage and a 2.29 goals against average, so he's been playing very well. And I think it was Dustin Wolf that was in net for the prior two games that the Hawks had gotten the better of his number. So maybe just a different feel for Calgary coming into this game.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've used Dustin Wolf as much as they had because of those numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Devin Cooley's been injured, but this just his third start in the last 5 weeks, which even for a backup goalie is kind of really light work. And now he's won those 3 games, so maybe he gets in the rotation a little more. Listen, the Calgary Flames have been in the press for all the wrong reasons, whether it's losing streaks or whether it's, you know, they're about to trade Rasmus Anderson, their top defenseman, possibly Nazem Kadri. And I thought Kadri was good tonight. Didn't end up with any points, but I thought, you know, he was solid out there. Michael Backlund, their captain, he always gives you an honest effort. But you can't take any teams lightly. And maybe the Blackhawks were expecting an easy game. They certainly didn't get it from Calgary.
Yeah, I don't think Jeff Flashill is going to be happy with this performance. Let's talk about the power play, because you mentioned the Hawks scored the first goal of this game to go up 1-0, just 2 minutes and 38 seconds into the game. Calgary responds 36 seconds later with a power play goal of their own, but it was the shorthanded goal that the Blackhawks gave up to make it 2-1 Calgary that really felt like a gut punch. And the Hawks' power play was just totally out of sync in that first period alone. Like, I don't think they generated a single shot on goal in those 4 minutes. And that was disorienting early on for the Blackhawks not to have that power play clicking.
Yeah, because and I've said this before, you know, your best players are on the power play, and if they're getting looks, you don't have to score every time, but if you're getting looks, you're gaining momentum, the crowd's getting into it, the guys on the ice are feeling better. Now your best players are feeling good about themselves, and they just didn't get that opportunity. They had just a horrible time trying to make the blue line. And again, you know, I talked about turnovers at the blue line. I bet you half of those were on the power play. So Calgary did a great job. They've got some big defensemen back there. I think Kevin Ball was really good, big number seven on the back end. Excellent killing penalties. He was excellent throughout this hockey game. We know Rasmus Anderson is a top defenseman in the NHL. Mackenzie Weegar make that. Maybe hasn't had the year like he had last year when, or a couple of years ago, I think he had 20 goals. I think he's only got 3 or 4 goals this year. But those guys played well defensively, and they just made sure that, you know, Connor Bedard wasn't going to be a factor. And I thought Connor Bedard was so much better in the second period. But in the first period, you know, I think all the Blackhawks were just kind of forcing it a little bit. So sometimes you just have to take what the other team gives you. And if it means dumping pucks in to get them back, that's what you have to do. You can't always make the blue line with speed. And, you know, the Blackhawks do have that type of speed, but it just wasn't working out today. So you got to find another way to do it. And by just getting pucks in behind the defenseman and then, you know, winning puck battles to get them back.
It should be noted that Teuvo Teravainen did not play in this game because of an upper body injury, and he is the bumper spot on that first power play unit. Mm-hmm. And in the first two periods, they had Ryan Green in there, and then the second period and on, they swapped Ryan Green for Ryan Donato. So Donato was on the bumper, Green went to the bumper on the second unit, so they swapped just to kind of change up the feel. And I'm looking at the high danger chances for the Blackhawks on the power play. They had zero high danger chances in 8 minutes and 12 seconds of power play time. Calgary actually had 3 high danger shorthanded chances. Yeah. So they outchanced the Blackhawks shorthanded than the Blackhawks did with the man advantage.
Well, now that you mention it, yeah, because Backlund's was a breakaway. And remember, Huberto had 2 great chances,
yep.
Both backhands on the doorstep that ended up missing. So not what you want to see, high danger chances for the shorthanded team, but you know, that's what it was tonight. And I got to give Calgary credit because, you know, no one gave them a chance in this game. Everyone thought, oh, the speed of the Blackhawks, the power play, the penalty killing, it's just going to be too much for Calgary. Well, that's a proud bunch over there, and they had something to say about it, and you know, they finished on a strong note. It's been kind of a tough road trip for them. It's a long one, 11 games all in the East Coast, or mostly to the East Coast, and they end up winning the last one. So they wanted to go home feeling good about themselves, and they certainly can.
Let's talk about the chippiness of this game. All 3 meetings between the Blackhawks and Flames have gotten a little physical. The first one in Calgary was on November 7th. There were 42 combined penalty minutes between the two teams, and in that game, there were 3 fights, and it was because Frank Nazar was injured in that game after he kind of took a little cross-check to the hip area that knocked him out for a few games. And so then you follow that up 11 days later here at the United Center, 122 penalty minutes combined. Now, I was going through the penalty minutes, and essentially all of them, almost all of them, came at the very end where all 5 guys on each side were given 20-minute misconducts because it happened right at the... Or they were given misconduct penalties because it happened right at the end of the buzzer. And then in this game, there were 36 total penalty minutes. There was a fight between Connor Murphy and Joel Farabee. So if you add up all the penalty minutes between all 3 games, you got exactly 200 combined penalty minutes between the Blackhawks and Flames this season.
Yeah, kind of some bad blood there. And I think you kind of called it in the pregame show. You talked about, you know, the bad blood between these two teams and some of the rough goings. You know, you're going to get that in a physical game. And I know that tonight was a physical. Whenever you play the Calgary Flames, it's going to be a physical hockey game. I love that hit by Connor Murphy. And then, you know, the boys decide to drop the gloves and settle it right there. I'm fine with that. I wasn't crazy about Donato going after Kevin Ball because I thought that was a good hit. But then again, you know, you want to show team solidarity and you want to stick up for your teammates. So that's why Ryan went in there. And I give him credit because Kevin Ball's 6 inches taller and 40 pounds heavier, too. So he ended up taking him down in that kind of mini scrum, too. So good for Ryan Donato. But, yeah, whenever you get a physical hockey game, and that typically brings out the best in both teams, it brings out the emotions, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, in that November 7th game, I'm just remembering. So Frank Nazar, he got hurt, left the game, missed a couple games. And I remember the Blackhawks were upset about it, and Nick Foligno started taking runs at Calgary's guys. So I remember he laid a big hit on Connor Zeri, and then he laid another big hit on Zane Parekh. And Zane Parekh has not played an NHL game since that November 7th game against the Blackhawks with an upper body injury, and we haven't seen him since. Although I will say, he did represent Team Canada at the World Juniors, and he had 13 points in 7 games. I guess he re-aggravated the injury that he was dealing with, so there is a little bit of bad blood. The Blackhawks losing their guy, Frank Nazar, then Foligno going after their young star, Zane Parekh, that has knocked him out of the lineup literally since that game. So yeah. There's some underlying tension between these two teams that has maybe spilled over into some of these games.
Yeah, kind of a story within the game. And I remember that hit by Foligno now. And it looked like it was a shoulder, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I don't think they have officially disclosed it as a shoulder, but yeah. It certainly looked like his shoulder got jammed up against the board.
Right, right. But, you know, then again, he was good enough to play in the World Juniors for Team Canada. And as you mentioned, he played very well. They're hoping that, you know, it looks like right now the plan for Parekh is they're going to send him to, because they can do this, and I know he's still, you know, a teenager basically, but they can send him to the, if he skips 5 games with the Flames, which he's missed now, he can go to their farm team, the Wranglers, which is right at the Saddle Dome in Calgary, and he can play up to, I think it's a 2-week conditioning stint.
Yep.
So
yeah, 14 days.
They can send him down there for that. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but you're right. That's probably the underlying bad blood, is a couple of youngsters for each team got hurt.
Last one for you. We had 2 Hall of Famers in the building, Duncan Keith and Marian Hossa. With Duncan Keith, he sounded the goal horn before with his son, Colton, and then they were sitting in the suite, and you brought it up on the broadcast where they panned to Duncan Keith, and the crowd's going nuts. Then the camera just slowly zooms out, and there's Marian Hossa, and just cheers erupt, and everyone just starts standing and clapping. I thought that was really cool. And we're going to see more of that on Saturday against the Boston Bruins, because it's Centennial Celebration Night, so there will be a pregame ceremony. And I believe 25-plus cup winners from those 3 Stanley Cups are expected to be in the building.
Wow.
Keith and Hossa, one of them. And I also heard that some of them, / maybe most of them, are also going to stick around for Monday's game because Taves is in town. So they're going to knock out 2 birds with 1 stone. So
that
should
great.
Be really... These next 2 Hawks games are going to be sellouts, and the atmosphere, I imagine, is going to be buzzing for different reasons.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, you know, we haven't seen Dustin Byfuglien here in a long, long time, and I think he's one of the guys.
Yep, he is.
Davey Boland, I think he's one of the guys who's supposed to be back, too. Guys who are such big parts of those Stanley Cups, and maybe not the names that we all associate with the Cups, but guys who had their fingerprints all over that Stanley Cup. It'll be great to see. And, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Why wouldn't you stick around for Johnny to come back to the UC? Can you imagine the tribute video they're going to have to put together for Jonathan Toews? There won't be a dry eye, and I'm sure Jonathan Toews, kind of an emotional guy, and I'm sure it'll get to him.
Yeah, well, when Patrick Kane came back for the first time with Detroit, they did the video tribute, and he literally did 3 laps around the United Center, because he did 1, and then the fans didn't stop clapping. Then Alex DeBrincat and some of the others encouraged him to go a second time.
Yeah.
Then the fans still didn't stop clapping and standing, and then he did a 3rd time, and then they ended up going on. So I imagine Taves will get something similar on Monday.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This will be obviously it's the centennial, which is kind of special anyway, but to get all those guys back in the building at the same time, it's kind of like a perfect storm. So can't wait for Monday.
All right, great stuff. But we got Saturday first, the Centennial Celebration Night. Great job as always, Steve, on the call, and we will do it again on Saturday.
Yeah, you too, Charlie. Way to make it fun.
All right, the Blackhawks fall to the Calgary Flames 3-1. We got some sound that's rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room, so we'll hear what some of the guys had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Colton Dock down the left wing side, hits the trailer for Foligno, shoots, he scores! Bada boom, bada bing, the captain, Nick Foligno, lights the lamp for the 2nd time in the season. And with 2:38 gone in the first period, it's 1-0 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. That was the lone goal scored by the Blackhawks in this game 2 minutes and 38 seconds in, Nick Foligno, his second goal of the season, assisted by Colton Dock. It was Dock's sixth assist of the season. This was a chippy game between the Blackhawks and Calgary Flames. Like we mentioned, 36 total penalty minutes in it, and five of them came from Connor Murphy when he dropped the gloves with Joel Farabee after he laid a big hit on Farabee in the open ice. Let's hear what the Blackhawks alternate captain Connor Murphy had to say after this game.
Seemed like it was a tough game to really get anything going, and how much more does that hurt when you can't get some more power play?
Yeah, it's frustrating. We had a lot of power play looks, but power play is kind of a story of our whole 5-on-5 as well, with just being disconnected, and our level of execution 5-on-5 was not there tonight. It needs to be, especially at home, for us to be able to play with the pace that we have. You got to be clean, and we weren't clean tonight.
Are you surprised by that halfway through the year, have a game like this?
It's a long season. There's a lot of games, so things happen. So I'm not surprised that it can happen, but it is frustrating just because we feel like we've been at home for a bit now and we don't have an excuse of being fatigued or being disconnected anyway. We had a good practice yesterday and feel like we should have been better tonight overall. They are a hard-checking team, so they don't make it easy. Their whole lineup plays pretty hard with their sticks and checking through bodies, so it makes it a bit of a challenge. So we tried to stay with it, but unfortunately we just couldn't break through to get a goal.
You have to believe that it's correctable, that you guys can make changes.
Yeah. I don't know if it's as much like changing systematically or anything, or maybe a bit of mindset or just a bit of extra focus, knowing this time of year, as we get deeper into games, teams are tighter with their checking, and especially when they come on the road, they want to play a strict defensive game. So we can't feed into that and give them easy chances. And then when they do play structure like that, we have to be clean and support each other to get up the ice, and be able to be connected in their zone to really put them on their heels, and that really creates more chances.
It didn't seem like there was any intent there, but do you feel obligated to fight in that situation when you're asked to?
Yeah, and a guy's standing there asking the whole time. I feel like eventually guys are going to all game be poking you to fight anyway, so you might as well do it right away. I got the wind knocked to the guy's helmet, was in my chest, so I kind of couldn't breathe for a bit, so I wanted him to wait a second, and I was able to get out of the way.
Is there something about this team that brings that out of you guys? It seems like each matchup this season's been pretty rough.
Physical, yeah. There's intensity in the season for sure, and I don't know if I'd say this team more than others. We've had years in the past where we've had plenty of fights. We had Patty Maroon last year, and I don't know if it's because teams don't want to start a lot when it's a guy like that on the other side. So it's just every game and season is a life of its own. But I think it's honestly good to have some of that physicality and some of the scrums. It gets emotion in the building even for the fans and for us. And you play every odd day in a busy Olympic year schedule. You want to bring out emotion how you can in games and really get some passion and fire in us.
How do you determine the line between like matching the physicality of the other team and staying disciplined, or is that a thought you guys have?
Yeah, discipline more comes from the stick stuff, the stick penalties and reaching. The physicality, if a guy gets a penalty for being rough on a player or getting a hit, maybe that's caused a penalty, you're going to kill those, and that still brings that edge we want to have. But it's the stick penalties and the ones that we have from not getting our body in front of guys, and that it's just habits that we want to have.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Connor Murphy. The Calgary Flames are a team that they are really physical, and they have some big bodies on their team. Adam Klapka, Kevin Ball, you saw Joel Farabee. He's not afraid to drop the gloves. So they are a team that likes to be physical, and the stats actually back it up. The hits in this game, 29 for Calgary, just 10 for Chicago. And on some level, I think that's a good thing, because you don't necessarily want to just start playing Calgary's game. But Calgary definitely, they like to throw their body around. So no surprise that they ended up trying to get under the skin of the Blackhawks. We mentioned Colton Dock. He's the one that picked up the primary assist on Nick Foligno's goal in the first period. Let's hear what Colton had to say after this one.
Connor was just saying that disconnected was a good way to kind of describe, especially in the offense. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I would kind of just reiterate what he said there. We weren't kind of as one going through the neutral zone, breaking the puck out, and then when you're not doing that, it's going to be hard to create in the offensive zone.
How much was it also them? They just kind of seemed to clog things up.
Yeah, they forechecked well. They were hard on us. I think we can do a better job of getting in front of them. So we give our D a little bit more time to break the puck out. And I mean, if we do that, us forwards will puck in our hands more.
What do you see on the goal?
I think just kind of a little bit of scramble near the bench. Saw some open ice. I feel like he made a good area play. And I mean, he's always calling for the puck. So heard him and then saw him. Just try to make a play towards him.
Is it frustrating to play a team like this on a night when you guys aren't at your best, but they're checking like demons on them?
I felt like we had some chances to put the puck in the net and didn't capitalize on that, so that is frustrating in itself. And then when you have a team who's always coming at you with speed and physicality, that's also frustrating.
Thanks, Colton.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Colton Dock speaking on this 3-1 loss to the Calgary Flames. We got more to get to on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show coming up on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks fall to the Calgary Flames 3-1 here at the United Center. Hawks got the best of the Calgary Flames in the first two meetings. Unfortunately, they were not able to complete the season sweep. Time now to get to tonight's Ice Time, sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Connor Bedard leading the way for the Blackhawks in the Ice Time department at 22 minutes and 5 seconds. Only two other players for the Blackhawks, actually one other player for the Blackhawks logged north of 20 minutes. And it was Matt Grzelcyk, 20 minutes and 53 seconds of ice time. Right behind him was Artem Lefshinov at 19:46. But Connor Bedard failed to get on the score sheet in this game, which is very rare for him against the Calgary Flames, because we talked about it in the pregame show. The first two meetings for Connor Bedard and the Calgary, or Connor Bedard versus the Calgary Flames, November 1st in Calgary. It was a 4-0 shutout win for the Blackhawks. Bedard had a goal and three assists, so he factored in on all four of those goals for the Blackhawks in that victory. And if you can remember, that fourth one was just an absolute thing of beauty, where he strips the puck from a defenseman and makes a highlight reel goal on Dustin Wolf. And then 11 days later, on November 18th, the game at the United Center, the Hawks beat Calgary 5-2. Connor Bedard recorded a hat trick in that game. It was his second hat trick of the season. We know that the one thing that happened earlier was against the Ottawa Senators. And so in the two games against Calgary, the first two games against Calgary this season, Bedard had four goals and three assists for 7 points. So he was averaging more than 3 points per game. I don't even want to say off night for Connor Bedard, because I thought he was really noticeable in the second and third periods, and honestly could have had like 2 to 3 points in the second period alone. But unfortunately, his teammates weren't able to capitalize on the chances that he set them up. So, Connor Bedard leading the way in ice time for the Blackhawks. On the other side, Rasmus Anderson finished with 26 minutes and 55 seconds of ice time. Would not be surprised if he gets moved between now and the NHL trade deadline, because he's a guy that's going to be a hot commodity around the entire NHL as a right-handed shot defenseman. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show as the Hawks fall to the Calgary Flames 3-1. Let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Congratulations to Blackhawks prospects Kevin Korchinski and Nick Lardis. They were both named to the AHL All-Star team. Now, we know that Nick Lardis has been with the Blackhawks for the last month or so, so we'll see if he ends up even playing in this game. But Kevin Korchinski, second straight year that he'll be an AHL All-Star. And last year, he recorded a goal and three assists in the championship game, including a shootout goal. And he was named the All-Star Classic MVP. So we'll see what he ends up doing this year in the AHL. All right, let's try to squeeze in what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say following this performance by his team.
I was asking Connor Murphy about the power play, but he said like 5-on-5 just disconnected tonight. Is that a good assessment on everything?
An interesting game. It was kind of a little bit of a weird game. I mean, I would say I think we've done a pretty good job of either winning games or putting ourselves in really good position on special teams, you know, over the course of the season. And tonight, we were -2 in special teams. And it is hard to win games in this league without, like, a great amount of firepower to, you know, when you lose that special teams battle by 2 like that. Where I thought we really got disconnected a bit was in the third for me, more than anything else. You know, like, you know, we had momentum coming out of the second. I think we had outchanced them 10-4. Had some real looks, didn't score, but it felt like he had a little momentum and we couldn't carry that forward in the third. So we got to look at why. Like, disconnected for sure. It just felt like maybe we weren't as predictable to each other. Maybe we were looking for an extra play. And when you do that, then if it doesn't happen, guys are kind of standing still. We definitely seemed like we couldn't generate ozone time. And so we couldn't end up with any kind of tilt the ice situation. So they were defending fresh, and it's hard to generate much then.
See on the shorthand goal?
We made a mistake on basically we knew better than to make that late pass, to be honest with you. That was in the pre-scout. They do step on that forward side, and we kind of played into their hands, and so then they had a breakaway.
On that one, you mean?
Yeah.
They were out hitting you too, like almost 3-1. Is that part of their mantra?
The hit, that's hard to say. That's an interesting stat because there's a lot of, you know, things that are deemed a hit that aren't really, they just don't have a big impact on the game. You know, every time you kind of rub, it's a hit, you know. I mean, there was definitely a couple big hits that have impact on the game. I think they do a pretty good job defensively. I think they fill space pretty good. They make it hard on you. Certainly once they got up, certainly in the third period, it was hard for us to get to, it was a fairly muddy track out there. But some of that was our fault.
Colton Dock had the assist early, but I think he was under 7 minutes till the end of the game. What were you not seeing from him?
I don't think it has anything to do with not seeing. If you really look at the usage of players through the course of a game, just somebody's getting less minutes. And you look across the NHL, it's just the reality. And especially, you know, I think probably with Connor back, that probably hurts the bottom minutes a little bit because he's going to get used a little bit more than what, maybe prior. If you really think about it, Colton right now is not on either special team, and he didn't play 4-on-4. So there was a lot of minutes in the game that were those two things. So I don't think it had anything to do with the lack of his play. I think, and then you get at the very end of the game, you got to kind of make a decision, if you're going to play 4 lines, 3 lines, what you're going to do. And we put him out there late, and they ended up getting us an icing and a face-off, which was great. So I had no issue with Colton's game. It's just you got to make decisions, and it's going to go one way or the other. You know, you could be asking me about how come you didn't play this guy enough minutes. You know what I mean? That's just the reality of the ice usage.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. Let's dive right into a next game preview sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action Saturday night, 7:30 here at the United Center. A pregame show starts at 7, but it's going to be an abbreviated pregame show because we got Centennial Celebration Night pregame ceremony. Blackhawks are instructing fans to be in your seats by 6:30 to make sure that you are there for the ceremony. And oh, by the way, it is Duncan Keith bobblehead night. First 8,000 fans will get a Duncan Keith bobblehead. So make sure you are here early. It should be another packed house at the United Center. We will see you on Saturday. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Eli Burke. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our fearless Colonel Brett Jackson back at the station. For John Weideman and Steve Conrad, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 3-1 loss to the Calgary Flames. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday night from the UC.